Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's DeStefano's Den with sports guy TJ DeStefano here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and thisisgold.net. Good morning, sports fans. Welcome inside DeStefano's Den on Westmoreland Saturday Morning. We're on at 7:30 on 98.7 and 107.5 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX, thisisgold.net, and the iHeartRadio app. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano, and as always, we're talking sports, and today we're talking with Greater La Trobe High School wrestling coach and the retiring athletic director, Mark Mears. 31 years in the district for Mark. So, Mark, good morning, congratulations, and thanks for coming on, as always.
I'm always glad to come on with you. We've done about 20 of these. It's always fun to talk about, you know, the athletes in La Trobe and what's going on. So, am retiring. So after that, you'll be getting your updates through Zach.
Yes, and we actually had Zach on last week, his first appearance, and he did a nice job.
Well, yeah, that's what I heard. I was jealous because I told him I was getting text messages from parents saying, "Boy, Zach did a really nice job on that interview." I'm like, I never got those. No one ever told me I did a nice job. As soon as Zach does it, I get text telling me how good he's doing. I'm like, he better me in bowling. He's better me at golfing. He's better me at tennis. I quit. I'm just retiring to my woods. I'm leaving.
No, he did a great job, and we're going to talk about Zach here in a little bit. Now, as you mentioned, Mark, you're going to retire as athletic director coming up on August the 6th. So, I mean, and as I mentioned, 31 years in the district. So is it starting to set in yet for you?
Actually, it is, and we were laughing about this. It's a little strange. It seemed like for the longest time we were joking about a countdown. You do all that stuff, you know. But now when you're within 2 weeks, basically, of truly done, it is starting to set in a little. Like, I realized that in 2 weeks, like this morning, you get up, you have your coffee, mm-hmm. you do your stuff at home, you get in your truck, you pull in here at 7:30, 7:40, whatever. I'm like, wow, August 9th, I'm not going to get up and pull in here. You know, it's just weird. It is starting to hit home, and I'm meeting with my financial advisors Monday. They want to talk to you, make sure your retirement stuff's all in place. When mm-hmm. when that stuff's starting to happen, Mr. Watson had me downtown to review all my stuff through the district. It starts to hit home that, hey, it's actually here.
Yeah.
You know, they're processing paperwork on me. So I said, it's really here.
Yeah.
So,
now, as
I'm excited. There's a lot I want to do, and yeah, it comes a time where you just know inside it's time, and hopefully I have some years left in me of health with my body holding up, and mm-hmm. I can do some things I wanted to do and hunt and do some things in the fall that I've never been able to do for years. So, and the biggest thing is, and we'll get to Zach later, like you said, but it's been handed over to somebody I completely trust in, so it's all going to be good.
Yeah. Now, 31 years in the Greater La Trobe School District, 17 as a teacher, 13 as transportation director, and 12 as athletic director. And we're going to talk about all that here in a moment. But first, why Greater La Trobe?
Well, here's what happened. I grew up, obviously, in Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was friends with a lot of people in La Trobe because essentially I live in Lysippus almost. So I was much closer to La Trobe kids than Mount Pleasant kids. Yeah, I was only 6 miles from this high school. I was 9 from Mount Pleasant. I just was on the wrong side of the border. But what happened was my very first year of teaching, I worked for the Westmoreland Intermediate Unit, and they place you somewhere. And being low in a totem pole, I got placed all the way up at Kiske High School.
Mm-hmm.
So my very first year of teaching, I drove 30 miles up 66 and back every day.
Wow.
Well, luckily, the next year, special education in La Trobe, they took over their own special education department. So all the teachers here in special education stayed with the IU to keep their seniority. So it opened up like 10 jobs here in La Trobe School District. So my degree happened to match with the 10 openings, and I applied here, and I was hired into a swath of teachers. And so I wound up coming to La Trobe close to my house and been here 30 straight years since.
Awesome.
But that's how that actually happened.
Yeah. Now, your first 17, as you mentioned, special education teaching, that was before you got into administration. So just talk about why you wanted to get into education and your time as a teacher.
Well, what led me to special education, believe it or not, was my high school days. At Mount Pleasant, they had a very severe autistic room there, and I fell in love with those kids. I'd see them in the halls. I wanted to help them. So I would go down in study halls and help those kids do things in their room. And then some of the other athletes at Mount Pleasant came down with me, and we got this group called Buddies, and we were called the Blue Shirts. And the only reason we were called Blue Shirts is we got towards spring, and we would take these, you know, handicapped children and, you know, these special children, we'd take them outside and teach them how to do their events for the Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. So they got us a blue polo shirt to go to the Special Olympics with them that said Mount Pleasant Buddy. So that's why we were called the Blue Shirts, because we had a blue polo shirt. But we had a group that became known as the Blue Shirts. And I fell in love with those kids, and I said, man, I would love to work with kids like these. The only other thing I was torn between was sports broadcasting and journalism, because I loved athletics, and I loved the idea of broadcasting. Mm-hmm. But my college advisor, his name was Lou Magent, gave me really good advice. He said, look, the two things that you are looking at here are both very good. These are... But in your world, I'm going to warn you that down the road, most sports broadcasters are going to wind up being former professional athletes. Well, now I look back, he was exactly right, because look at the football shows. That's exactly what happened.
Yep.
And he said, if your love is children and you want to coach and you like special education, he said, do that, because there's going to always be a need for that. So I listened to him, and that's what led me on my track to special education. And then I came here to Latrobe, and, you know, been, like I said, well, Kiski for a year, and here to Latrobe. And when I went to Kiski, I actually started the Buddy program up there, and it's still thriving. I saw their yearbook a few years ago. The one lady sent me a picture. It was like 31 kids at Kiski helping special students now. You know, so I've always been proud of that. And for 17 years here at Latrobe, I've worked with special education students. So I think the key is it teaches you a respect for everything in life, and a respect for patience. You know, because you're working with children and need some time.
Yes.
You know, you have to do things a bunch of times. And I think it helped me a lot in coaching, because you realize that, you know, certain kids aren't going to catch on the first time you show a move.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some time. You need some patience. And I think the two went hand in hand to develop me into a much more patient person, you know. And I tell everybody, everything I do is on a 3-year plan, because I'm smart enough to know you're gonna have to have some patience here. It's not gonna all change in 30 days.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that's how I got to special education, and that's how I wound up here at Latrobe.
That's awesome. And now, after teaching, you moved on to administration. So why did you decide to make that move?
I always wanted to be an administrator. After about 10 years, you start to realize that you believe you could be an administrator, and I like to lead. I'm one of the people that I don't like to sit back and critique things and not get involved or try to provide answers. And ironically, the first position that came open that would fit me was transportation director. I was from this area, born and raised. And I knew all the roads. And the key piece to all that was I didn't have a principal certification. So as far as being a principal or an assistant principal, that was out. So all I administratively, quote, fit would have been like athletics or transportation. And Dr. Stavisky and Mr. Chamberlain, you know, met with me about the transportation piece when Chuck was retiring. And that's where I fit. You know, so I gladly welcomed that, because I wanted to be an administrator. So it started off as transportation. And, you know, that's where my 3 o'clock in the morning life started.
Yeah, you did.
But that's what led that.
Yeah. Now, you did that for 13 years. So just tell me a little bit about that position and what the duties were.
Well, when you're the transportation director, the roughest part is trying to, yeah, every parent wants a bus stop at their house. I mean,
yeah,
that's just the way it goes. But people don't realize the work the transportation director does, like in a wintertime. It's the only job I said you have where you get up every day at 3:30 to make sure you don't have to get up if something didn't happen. You know?
Yeah.
But the day something does happen, you're at a merciless decision. You're out in the snow. You're driving around, and you're trying to figure this all out. You're working with PennDOT. You're working with the township crews and other school districts. And you got about an hour and a half to come up with a decision. And no matter what you do, half the people say you're wrong and half the people agree.
Yep.
You know, but all you really learn to do in that piece of the job is that you do what's right to protect a child. You know, if bottom line is, I would rather be wrong on a good side than wrong on a bad side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, it's 2 hours you're talking, but it's a 4,300 kids' lives out there. And what people don't understand, you also have to factor in when you're doing that job, you have 300 teenagers going to drive to school.
Yep.
And no matter how much you say get on that school bus, it's not going to happen. And many of them haven't even driven in the snow yet or on ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everything's weighing in your mind when you're trying to make that decision. Then the other part of the job is the routing and coordinating. Now, Margie did most of that with the software that we have now, and working with the drivers to get their routes right, make sure everything was doable. Like, there wasn't too many kids on a bus where you had to switch a route or move a route or add a bus. And then the other big part was trying to work with the budget. People have to understand transportation is a huge piece of the overall budget. You're talking $3 million, you know, for to run your busing system. So that's a job actually in itself, just transportation. But yeah, I did that for 13 years, and we actually had two bus changeovers in that time. You know, we went from first student to AJ Myers to DMJ, and the last move, you had to make it saved over $1 million in 4 years for the taxpayers. So when you keep bidding, we have to keep, nowadays you have to price everything out. Everything gets bid. We have to bid hoodies for a sports team. Yeah. So, because the finances are so tight, you got to do at least RFPs and check things. So that was the busiest overall part of transportation. That's how transportation actually works.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. So glad you were able to explain that a little for us. Now, finally, 12 years as athletic director. Now, I know you have a background in athletics. You've coached for 20 plus years. We'll get into that as well. So why did you want to be the athletic director?
Well, athletics was always a big piece of my life. You know, I played three sports. You know, I wrestled collegiately, played football collegiately for a year. And athletics is where I thought that I could make a difference because I had some ideas. And I thought at that time, the district, that's when Tom Corbett had cut the budget so tight in education. Districts were looking at a way to consolidate things and you know, cut back money because you couldn't raise taxes. You weren't going to be able to raise the taxes. So we met, and you know, Mrs. Swigert at the time was the superintendent, and we discussed it with Dr. Moffa at the time was the head of the athletic committee. And we discussed, could I do both if they got me some coordinators to assist me in each season? Because essentially it would save the district over $100,000, but yet it would also put me in an environment that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, the worst case scenario is it wasn't going to work, but we were going to try it. So I agreed to try it just simply because I love athletics, and I had some ideas. So once I did that, I think a key piece to the 12-year tenure was a lot of times athletic directors hold principal papers too.
Yeah.
Like in a lot of districts, an AD will also be an assistant principal. Well, I didn't have principal papers, and therefore I've been here for 12 years. And I think it allowed continuity to develop between me and the booster clubs. I mean, think about it. 12 years, that means if a soccer kid was in first grade, I seen him come all the way through and graduate under the same athletic functioning and coaching staffs and things we were putting together. And I think that helps coaches to not have a new boss every 4 years.
Yeah.
Ironically, 12 years, I'm the second longest tenured athletic director in the history of the school district.
Wow.
Behind Gary Garrison, who was here forever. But but that tells you the turnover was so great that it's hard to settle in, you know, if you can't get in sync with everything and work on things as an athletic fraternity, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, and I've enjoyed that part, and it was hard because people, when I first consolidated, took that position, there was no sports complex. You know, so therefore, everything was played at 4 o'clock. The only night things ever played was football. So the job was much simpler. By 4:30, you were essentially going home anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so, but when a sports complex came, 2 years ago before COVID, that year we had 65 night events on the complex. And so you look at that, it's 3 months, basically, 5 days, you know, 60 school days. And so that's when, you know, the assistant athletic director came along with Zach, you know, because you had to have some help. Like, this was getting completely overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great for the community, but now that the job was together, this was a lot on the plate. So, but the district stepped in, and we had an assistant AD, and we still had a fall coordinator. We did what we had to do to keep it going. But so that's how the athletic piece came, and that's how I've been for 31 years.
There you go. And we're talking with retiring Greater Latrobe Athletic Director Mark Mears on DeStefano's Den, 98.7 and 107.5 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX. This is gold.net and the iHeartRadio app. Mark, what were some of your biggest highlights as athletic director?
Well, I think obviously the first thing that comes to everyone's mind is the athletic complex.
Yes.
You know, I think that was something that I was proud to be a very big part of. Of course, it was the foundation leading the way, the Greater Latrobe Partner in Education Foundation. That was a piece that started the whole wheels in motion. And I think what I liked about it was it gave me a chance. Like, people may not know this, but we sat down with every head coach privately, Mr. Thomas and I, for half an hour and ask them, what their vision of their sport was. You know, what would they like something to look like? For example, we had the track set up a little differently. When we met with Dr. Winnick, he said he would like the way Norwin's was set up more. And, of course, I didn't know what it meant, but he showed the architects. And so now our track up here is set up similar to Norwin's because the head coach came into play. We had the baseball coach here, the softball coach here. So it was kind of neat working as a whole fraternity of athletic type things to put together this idea and then to see the foundation push it through. I mean, it was amazing to watch happen and getting to know Mr. Palmer, you know, much better through that process, and his family. And Peg Weirs was here a lot because her grandkids, you know, her kids went here. Mm-hmm. So I think I was very proud of that, that, you know, it took a year and a half to do, but now if you come here, there's no question when you're on campus. I always kind of grin when you hear a kid from Upper St. Clair or North Allegheny get off their bus and go, wow.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that wow is saying that we did it right.
Yeah.
Like this catches everyone's eye when they come here is the athletic complex. Any team that comes here just is amazed. You know, the Steelers come here when they're at camp and it's too wet over there. They jump here at the facility tonight. So I was very proud of that because I thought and what triggered a lot of that was the school board had created a lot of sports teams. Field hockey and boys lacrosse and girls lacrosse, and that's great for the community because, let's face it, we need kids to be involved as much as possible nowadays in everything they can be.
Yes.
But the issue was becoming we were creating teams with no fields. Like, we didn't have the answers where they were going. Like, that's fine, you have them, but where are you putting them? And that facilitated a lot of the field complex and the field house. And so I thought the board, you know, they took some heat for building that complex, but I think now if you ask people in the community, we have youth sports down there last night, junior, you know, youth football practice and conditioning. Like, the whole community truly does access this complex. So I was kind of proud that when we stepped back and it was all done, the community has something they can be proud of. I mean, if you went out in the evening, you'd be amazed how many baby strollers are being pushed around or husband and wives are jogging. This really is a community hub now, like a campus. And the other thing is it created a lot of sports morale. You know, kids couldn't support each other before because everything was played at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to play everything at 4 o'clock, everyone else is at practice. You know, so they can't support each other. Now, when soccer's played at night and field hockey's at night, you know, and lacrosse at night, all the other students can come cheer for their classmates, and you have more school spirit. And I think I was most proud. The other thing I was proud of is that last year when the announcement came out, we were now the number one ranked athletic school in Westmoreland County.
Awesome.
That's never been achieved before, I don't believe. And I think that's a piece of it, because kids, instead of doing sports because it's something to do, are now doing sports because they want to do them. They're back here firing lacrosse balls at nets all summer because it's turf and it's nice and it's gorgeous. So it's accidentally making everything better. You know, and the kids have a first-class facility, and they've taken care of it pretty well. I mean, for 6 years in full usage, you wouldn't know it's been beat around for 6 years. Our, you know, the maintenance crew and us, we look at things, and we just met this morning about some new nets here, and we keep it pretty nice. But I'm proud of that, and I think it is a big reason that we've elevated to where we were ranked number one this year in Westmoreland County. So those are things that I'm very proud of. And the other big accomplishment, I think, is how far the Steelers allowed me to take Steeler Night. Now, God knows if it's ever coming back.
Yeah.
We're praying that it comes back. But I was very humbled to realize we had the very first NFL practice ever put on national television when ESPN came here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back the next year and did SportsCenter and the practice on national TV. So to the Steelers, of course, give me permission. I have to run everything by them.
Yeah.
But we built that night to a monster 10,000-fan event. And I'm kind of proud of that because that's helping all our programs generate money so parents don't have to sell one more sub or one more ticket or one more thing. That's why it was so disappointing this year, because everyone was holding their breath that they would come because we missed last year. But the Steelers have been so great to the Lake Trobe School District allowing us to do this stuff that you just appreciate any time the night happens because you know that it's going to be good for the community.
Yeah.
But those are probably two or three highlights of what I'm really proud of that I think I've had a hand in and moved forward, and now hopefully Zach takes it and moves it forward further. And you know, he's the technical whiz, and he's good at all the computer era,
yes,
which I'm not. You know, that's another reason, you know, it's time to go. When kids are doing things on these things like Snapchat and Instagram and you have no clue what they're talking about, that's when you know you're no longer in your era.
Yeah.
The era has now passed to the younger guy.
Yeah.
So.
And, yeah, we mentioned Zach. Latrobe appointed him. Of course, Zach was the assistant for you, and he became the athletic director on July 1st. So just talk about Zach and how you think he's going to do in the job as AD.
Oh, I think Zach will be fine. Zach came here first as an athletic secretary for me. And like I said, then that morphed into an assistant athletic director job. And that, I think, was the key, because it allowed him to be in an administrative capacity and work on events and things for 3 years with me. You know, so he was actually involved in, like, he had a piece of the job and I had a piece of the job. Mm-hmm. He would cover a thing with administrative authority, and he's really gotten to know all the boosters over that time and the athletes and the coaches. So it accidentally led to a super transition where it's kind of seamless, you know, because Zach already knows all the boosters. Yeah. Zach already knows all the head coaches. Zach already works with them on everything. It's not a matter of if it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's just a matter now, you know, what direction do you go?
Yeah.
You know, and that'll be up to him. You know, he'll have to, like, I came in with ideas, like I said, and I'm sure he has ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, ideas aren't right or wrong. They're just someone's ideas, you know. Everyone says, well, you shouldn't retire. I said, listen, yes, I should, and so should Zach someday. You know,
yeah.
I said, there'll always be the next person. Don't ever think that you can't be replaced, because you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they might not do everything the way you do it, but who says that's wrong? You know, it's just the way they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I laugh all the time. People say, well, he has big shoes to fill. I said, no. I said, I don't like that comment from people, because people told me that with, you know, when I was hired at
mm-hmm.
things. I said, he doesn't have big feet to fill. He has his own footprints to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he needs to do it his way.
Yeah.
And he will. But I think the key to the whole thing was 3 years experience as an assistant athletic director, because he's been to conferences. He's met with the WPL coaches. You know, he is much more ready to step in and just take it, because, well, if you bring somebody from the outside in, it's never been here.
Yeah.
There's a learning curve, and it's about 3 years. Yeah. Zach's been through the learning curve.
Yeah.
He's got this down already. You know, so is he going to be perfect? Probably not. Not his first year, but neither was I. And I'm still not.
Yeah.
You know, things happen. I laugh. My very first year, my first winter, we sent our basketball team to Uniontown to play a basketball game. And it was December 23rd. I was already getting yelled at because it was so close to Christmas, but it was already on the schedule. There wasn't anything I could do. I inherited the schedule.
Uh-huh.
Well, their athletic director died in September of a sudden heart attack. So what nobody knew is their new athletic director didn't see this folder laying there with exhibition games. Well, the new athletic director never put us on our schedule because he didn't know we were supposed to. I didn't know we weren't on our schedule. So we went there December 23rd, and Greg Fenton called me. He was the coach at the time. I said, hey, Mark. I said, yeah, Greg. I'm staying here at Uniontown. They're practicing. I'm like, what? So it taught me. Now, they were wrong on a bunch of things. You know, wrestling teams were showing up. They realized what had happened. But it was too late. I already. At least if I had checked, I wouldn't have sent a team there. You know, we'd had practice.
Uh-huh.
At least they wouldn't have went there on 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
Then the parents were really mad. But Mark was not well-liked there for about 24 hours by the girls' basketball program. But what it taught me was to put up the board in my office now where we check events the next day. We get online. We make sure theirs is saying the same thing, ours is saying. So you learn.
Mm-hmm.
You learn. And unfortunately, in the world we live in here, you only learn through experience. And you just try not to let it happen again. But Zach's going to do some great things. He's did an awesome job of that camera setup. He has a lot of neat things that they tweet out now and do stuff. It's all going to be fine. And it might be a little different, but it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And he's going to accomplish big things, because he also has a sports management degree and no principal papers. This is what he wants to do. And he'll focus on this and try to get him a good assistant that actually, you know, is thriving on athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can go even further. Like, there's no right or wrong. Just keep pushing it. Like, I'm one of those people, when I retire, I want to root for the next guy to take it further. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. Because to me, you're always building. The future's always changing. Look at technology. You know, everything's changing. Like, keep going. Don't let Latrobe slide. That's my only hope.
Yeah.
And he won't.
Yeah, I agree. Now, you're going to still be around, because you're still going to be the wrestling coach. So my big question for you is, how is it going to be for you going from being Zach's boss to him being your boss?
Well, yeah, he will be my boss. And I remind him every day, though, that he wouldn't be here without me being his boss first. He better always remember that. So, yeah, it's kind of funny, because we have a story that Bill Stavisky was the superintendent here when I was here. But what people don't know is I was also on a Mount Pleasant school board for 2 terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a school board president, and he was my superintendent over there. Then suddenly, he gets hired here and becomes my boss. And we joked all the time. I said, well, it's a good thing I treated you right because you're not my boss. So Zach now finds himself in that same spot, you know, that he went from working for me to now I actually work for him. So I said, just remember that when I want something, that supply better get checked yes. We laugh and joke, but it'll be fine. I'll hide in the wrestling room. I'll hide.
You'll hide somewhere out of
I'll
sight.
Hide somewhere. Yep.
Well, we're coming to the end here already, Mark. We're not really going to get to talk much about coaching. I know you've done that for 20 plus years. You are going to stay on again. You just became the wrestling coach, just completed your first year at La Trobe. So I know you're still going to be around in the district and things like that. So I'm sure you're still excited to coach wrestling.
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited to coach wrestling. I've never had this chance before where all I did was coach wrestling.
Yeah. So
this is something that's going to be new, and you have to have goals. Mm-hmm. You know, my next goal, and I said it when the Tribune Review interviewed me, my goal this year is to win the WPL title. And will that happen? We'll see. Do I think we have the talent? Yes. Do we have the work ethic? Yes. But a lot of things got to play out. You know, injuries come into play. Things happen. How's COVID going to come into play this year? But if I don't set a goal, there's nothing to push a team towards.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to set a goal, and that's our goal. Our goal is to win the WPL wrestling title, and I'm going to exhaust myself, and I have a great staff, and we're going to try to pull it off, and I'll start focusing my energy there full time.
There we go. And what else are you going to do in retirement?
Well, if you're looking for me in October, you'll probably find me in a tree stand a lot of times hunting deer in the morning.
Okay.
I'm finally going to get to hunt the way I wanted to on my property. And we're going to do some traveling. You know, my wife and I, just because of the nature of my job, for the last few years, like, she's at the beach right now with my family, but I'm not there because we thought we'd be here at the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
So her and I can finally pack up and be together and go do some things even on weekends that we've never been able to do because I can get all the work done during the week.
Yep.
You know, we can travel and do some hiking. She loves to hike, so maybe we can find some places in the neighboring states to go visit on weekends. I'm just going to do a lot of things that I never was able to do.
There you go. And work on that long honey-do list, right?
That honey-do list is getting longer every day. You know, I got the feeling by about mid-October, I'm going to wish I never retired.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to walk in here mid-October and say, Zach, move over. I'm coming back. You don't have to pay me. I'm just coming back.
Oh, my. Well, Mark, we're out of time. Thanks for everything you've done for us and for me over the years. It's made our job, you know, broadcasting La Trobe Sports much easier. Again, congratulations on the retirement. Continued success as the wrestling coach. As I told you before, as long as you're coaching, you're still not off the hook to do these interviews. They just might not be as detailed.
Anytime I can talk about my team or wrestling, you just give me a ring.
I will. I know where to find you, and I have your number.
Yep.
All right,
all
Mark,
right,
again, anytime. And that was Mark Mears retiring as Greater La Trobe Athletic Director coming up in August. That'll do it for DeStefano's Den this Saturday morning. You can like the show on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at SportsGuy1480. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next Saturday here on Westmoreland Saturday Morning.